With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Thanksgiving is clearly a Christian holiday. It came about because of believers. When the gospel does its work, God's people desire to give thanks. Thanksgiving holidays ought not to be something that's found in our country alone, but wherever believers could influence a country, it ought to be there, because Thanksgiving and its handmaiden of worship is actually the hallmark of God's people. It is a virtue that the gospel elicits in the lives of God's people.
Welcome, and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Today on In Perspective, Harry Reeder brings us a message entitled Thanksgiving, a Gospel Virtue. Thanksgiving was not only established as a distinctly American holiday, but a distinctly Christian holiday. It reflected the soul of a country that had been significantly impacted by the gospel. But for the Christian, Thanksgiving should not be an annual event. It should be a daily response and frame of mind for the soul that has been impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, praise, and worship to the Lord is a gospel virtue that should be deeply ingrained into the fiber of every true child of God. Does your life and your relationship with God reflect the gospel virtue of thanksgiving? If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 92. We're looking at verses 1 through 4 as we rejoin Harry Reeder with the Thanksgiving message entitled, Thanksgiving, a Gospel Virtue.
Take your copies of God's Word and turn with me to Psalm 92. Just a few thoughts as we enter into a time of Thanksgiving, anticipating your family Thanksgiving. May I encourage you strongly to make Thanksgiving a part of your family gathering at the table. Give everybody a chance, read scripture, pray, have a time to give thanks. God's family here at Briarwood is joined together. We want to give thanks to the Lord tonight. I love this time of year for a number of reasons, Thanksgiving. One of the reasons is that Thanksgiving is clearly a Christian holiday. It came about because of believers, and believers who had survived a year of trauma, a year of many people dying, many having lost their lives as they landed on those rocky shores of New England, and then having survived that year, they gathered everyone together and they gave thanks to the Lord. And as they did so, they set in motion something that's been with us ever since. George Washington, our first president, called for it and longed for it to be a holiday. It actually became a holiday during the time of President Abraham Lincoln, and has continued on as a part of our celebrations as a country. But this is one holiday that's not what I call a Hallmark holiday. It's amazing how many holidays have been invented by Hallmark so they can sell cards to you that you can send to each other. But this is one that certainly you can send a card, but it's one that is uniquely American and uniquely Christian. Now, it doesn't have to, of course, rest with America. In fact, what I want to do tonight is take just a moment to explain to you why, wherever Christians can bring their influence, Thanksgiving holidays ought not to be something that's found in our country alone, but wherever believers could influence a country, it ought to be there, because Thanksgiving and its handmaiden of worship is actually the hallmark of God's people. It is a virtue that the gospel elicits in the lives of God's people. And when the gospel does its work, God's people desire to give thanks. As Paul told the Thessalonians, and please remember, when he's writing the Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica was the first church that endured persecution by a local government where believers were dying. That's why they wrote him a question to ask him, well, what happened to believers who've died and Jesus hadn't come back yet? And he says in 1 Thessalonians, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, about those who have gone on to be with the Lord. They were dying there. And yet Paul said to them, in everything, give thanks. Now, I don't want to pick at the words too much, but I note he didn't say give thanks for everything. But he does say, give thanks as a believer in everything. In fact, isn't that the acid test? The acid test is when God brings blessing in your life, do we do just as Bruce kind of challenged us? Do we take the blessings of God and just kind of run on in life and assume that's our entitlement? Or do we give thanks? But maybe perhaps even the more acid test in the life of Job and others and the Thessalonians, the even greater acid test is, what do we do in the day of suffering and adversity? How do we respond at those moments? Are we able to trust the Lord when His providence seemingly is a frowning face from the heavens? Do we yet see the smile of God upon His people, whom He has already told, it has been granted unto you to suffer for His sake? Can we, in the days as we just sung, in the days when we're in the fields of plenty, will we give thanks? And then when we walk through the desert, will we give thanks? Well, Psalm 92, obviously I won't read the whole psalm to you, but I just want to read a little bit of it. This is a psalm that was written for the Sabbath, for the Lord's Day, the day to give praise to God. This was one of the songs that the people would sing when they would assemble in the temple to give praise to God. In fact, there are, of the 150 psalms, the teachers of Israel had arranged one psalm for each day. This is the one that was to be sung when the people assembled for worship. I'm just going to read the first few verses. Look at Psalm 92, verse 1. And the passage says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know. The fool cannot understand this. That though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered, but you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. Well, from those few verses, I'd just like to give you five thoughts to lead us into our time of thanksgiving, if I could. Here's the first one from that text. Worship and thanksgiving with gladness and joy is good. It is good. Well, you say, Harry, I assumed that. Well, then why don't we do it more? Then why don't we worship with, now notice what he said, with joy and gladness, I will give thanks and praise your name. The joy of our relationship with the Lord, even in the midst of a broken world, the gladness to know that our God will never leave us nor forsake us. It is good. It is good to do it. May I give you two ways that it's good? It is good to give thanks and worship the Lord. It is good ethically to do it. It's a right thing to do. It's what we ought to do. It is the ethic of the gospel, the imperative of the gospel, the command of the gospel. Be glad and rejoice. You are mine and I am yours. Even in the midst of this broken world, you're headed to a new heavens and a new earth. I gave my son to assure you of that, and I will bring you to glory. It is a good thing for you to give praise to me. It's right to do it. Can I tell you something else? It's not only good ethically, it's good practically. For the Lord will inhabit the praises of His people. As we rise up, we've just sung it wonderfully. I loved listening to you sing it. When we rise up and bless His name, He comes in our midst in a special way and into our hearts. Does the Lord seem far away in this broken world? Is there darkness that seemingly would overcome you? Then bless the Lord, O my soul. It is a good thing to do. It's not only right that by faith you bless Him. It is a good thing because in the midst of your worship and praise, the Lord visits you. Secondly, second thing is not only worship with thanksgiving and gladness, and it's a good thing to do it, but secondly, worship and thanksgiving is more than an event. It is a way of life every day and all the day. Okay, let me give you my hidden agenda in the next moments that we're together. It is good for us to have a Thanksgiving day. It was good that those early forebears of ours that came to this country and lost almost 75% of the company that arrived in that first year, that went through hardship after hardship, and as they came through the year and they saw God's sustaining hand and what He had done in their lives, and they trusted Him for the lives of their loved ones that had gone on to be with the Lord. In the midst of all of that, they rose up and thanked the Lord. Why? It was good ethically. It was good practically. But the other reason that they did it, and there is an event called Thanksgiving, is because it's a way of life for believers. It should not be simply an event. This is the way we live. Notice what he says in the psalm. He says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night." It's an all-day job. It's an all-day job. It's an everyday job. It's an all-day privilege. It's an everyday privilege to give thanks to the Lord. It's all right to have a Thanksgiving day. And in fact, every Lord's Day is a day of worship and thanks to the Lord. But not only can there be a Thanksgiving feast, not only can there be Thanksgiving in our worship and praise every Lord's Day, there ought to be Thanksgiving in our heart every day, all the days. Giving thanks in everything. Every day, all the day. Thanksgiving is not a 1 in 365. It's a 365. It's a 52 365. It's a 24/7. Give thanks. Sometimes doesn't feel like a moment of thanksgiving. But by faith, you have seen and known the promise of His loving kindness and goodness all the days of our life. Number three, the third thing, my salvation is God's work, but God's praise is my privilege. Notice what he says. Why do we give thanks to the Lord? Because the Lord has given us His loving kindness and His mercy. Look back with me again. I want to sing praises to your name, O Most High. That's my privilege. I sing praise. Why? Because of your steadfast love in the morning, your faithfulness by night. Look at verse 4. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. I see the creation. I give praise to God. I see His sustaining hand in my life. I give praise to God. I see the hand of God that saved me from my sins. I want to praise the Lord. God's loving kindness, steadfast love, from morning to evening, every day, all the days. Now, by the way, God's steadfast love and loving kindness is, that's not the only thing God has done for us. Isn't it interesting? The psalmist only picks two of the attributes of God's work in our life, his love or loving kindness and his steadfastness. And he just takes two of them and says, that ought to occupy you every day for the rest of your life. Just those two. You want to start listing all the acts of God and all the attributes of God? They're unfathomable. They're unfathomable. He said, let's just pick two. Just two will occupy you for the rest of your life. He will never leave you nor forsake you. His faithfulness is assured. And his love is so glorious, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Death, life, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. The love of Christ holds on and takes us through. Well, let me give you a fourth one. Because God's work is my salvation, my privilege is His worship. The worship and thanksgiving of the Lord is both the pinnacle and the pattern of every day. The worship and praise of God is both the pinnacle and the pattern for every day. So I mentioned to you, and this is the honest truth in my heart and soul, is God, will you in my life, personally, and certainly in my life pastorally, and would you allow that in our leadership and in our church, that we would be noted as a people of gratitude, who have embraced the gospel virtue of giving thanks through worship and praise to the Lord, and to give thanks with all of my heart and all of my soul to the Lord. Would you allow those things to be at work in my life so that as I simply see your loving kindness and your mercy, that that would cause me to be occupied in worship, and the very pinnacle of my life is worship, and the activity of every day of my life is worship. And I this is something I pray regularly. Lord, will you allow us on every Lord's Day to receive a people who have praised you every day. And now, having praised you every day with their life, they've assembled together to praise you on the Lord's Day as one people. And then, Lord, would you be so gracious to do a work in us so that as we depart a Lord's Day morning and evening service, we will go into a week to praise you with obedience and love, with all of our heart and our life. And when I say this matter of thanksgiving, what would that lead us to? Not only would worship and praise be the pinnacle of our life, it is the pattern of everyday life, but that would lead us to one final view, one final statement from this. And I can't avoid it from the text, and that's this. The fifth thing that I want you to see is that to replace worship and thanksgiving with silence is to reveal arrogance, blindness, or stupidity. Now, that's not me. That's the psalmist. So don't get mad at me. This is the psalmist. And don't get mad at him, because the Holy Spirit moved him to write this. Look at what he says in that fifth verse. How great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. Lord, you are beyond my finding out. But I've felt and known and I've been assured of your loving kindness and your mercy. But the stupid man cannot know. The fool cannot understand this. The foolish and the arrogant and the stupid cannot understand it. But God, by His grace and mercy, has given you eyes to see and ears to hear, that you can look beyond a broken world and see the hand of God at work in all things. And when the acid test of the days of difficulty come, you'll rise up and praise Him. And when the days of prosperity come, you won't just assume it. You will give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord in everything. Give thanks to the Lord, for His works are good. The reason we have a holiday, the reason that we have a holiday called Thanksgiving, is because we had believers who knew the gospel, and in the midst of adversity, gave thanks to the Lord at the very outset of a nation. They gave thanks to the Lord. I will confess to you, my prayer has been, God, would you please at work in my life allow a Thanksgiving holiday to propel me to make Thanksgiving and worship a way of life and the joy of every Lord's Day. But I'll confess to you, I don't think that happens. I don't think holidays will do it. I think holidays only come when the gospel does that in our lives. When our love of Christ, having known His unfailing love morning to evening, every day, takes hold of our heart, then there'll be holidays abounding to honor the Lord, for we have a people who from their heart give thanks. Father, thank You for the moments that we can be together to give thanks to You. Father, I know that they're going to be gathering in homes and families, the wonderful assembly of families together to give thanks. But in these moments, Your family is represented at Briarwood with all of our visitors and friends that are here. We've come to give You thanks today. And I pray that You will be exalted. For we come with gladness and joy. We come in a broken world. We come facing adversity. We come with many blessings of Your hand, many challenges whereby we look to Your hand to do a work in us and to cause all things to work together for good. But we have come to worship You and give thanks in everything. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Oh. The constant frame of mind of giving thanks, praise, and worship to the Lord should be deeply ingrained into the soul of every true child of God. Does your life and your relationship with God reflect the gospel virtue of thanksgiving? If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Thanksgiving, a Gospel Virtue, or simply ask for message number 11626. Again, that's message number 11626. Thanksgiving, a Gospel Virtue. We do request a gift of $5 to help cover our costs. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email imperspective@briarwood.org. Harry Reeder has authored an insightful book every church leader and leadership team needs to read, From Embers to a Flame, How God Can Revitalize Your Church. Jonathan Merritt, a contributor to The Atlantic, writes, many of our nation's churches can no longer afford to maintain their structures. 6,000 to 10,000 churches die each year in America, and that number will likely grow. Though more than 70% of our citizens still claim to be Christian, congregational participation is less central to many Americans' faith than it once was. Most denominations are declining as a share of the overall population. Meanwhile, religiously unaffiliated Americans, nicknamed the nuns, are growing as a share of the U.S. population. The people of God need a strategy for revitalization. Harry expounds biblical principles that, if applied to even the unhealthiest church, the Lord can use to take that church from embers to a flame. From Embers to a Flame, How God Can Revitalize Your Church is now available for you at a discounted price by visiting us online at briarwood.org/embers to a flame. Again, that's briarwood.org/embers to a flame. We do hope that In Perspective is encouraging your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd love to hear back from you. Write Harry at In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.